Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. What's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. On the eve of the Titans' first preseason game, so we're going to just kind of go through some things that we'll be watching for. Before we do that, remind you to be right from MusicCityMiracles.com, where we cover the Titans for SB Nation. So you can check us out there. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Locked On Titans, and you'll find us there. There's also Locked On shows for pretty much every NFL team. So if you want to know what's going on with the Packers and getting ready to play them tonight, or when you're probably listening to this, you can search out that podcast, and I'm sure they have a bunch of information going there as well. All right, so we're kind of going to go over some things that we'll be watching for tomorrow night. And, you know, it's the first preseason game. So we know we're going to see the starters for probably a series, not much more than that. And then we're going to see, I would imagine your second string guys like Blaine Gabbert would play about a quarter. I mean, this is all just speculation. We have absolutely no idea what Mike Vrabel's going to do. But so you're probably looking at 2.5 quarters of Luke Falk, which I'm sure will be very entertaining. But, you know, that's just kind of where we are. And then you'll see it a little bit different in that second preseason game. You'll see a couple of drives, and then I would imagine Gabbert would probably take them to the half, and then just a half of Falk. And in the third preseason game, we should get 2 full quarters of the starters. But, you know, obviously all eyes, first off, tomorrow night are going to be on Marcus Mariota and the handful of plays that he plays. Hopefully they can put something together. It'd be nice to see them put a drive together and go down and put some points on the board. I mean, that would obviously be something that would make us feel better. But if they don't, if they come out and, you know, he throws 2 passes and the second one's an interception, you know, it's not the end of the world. This guy's not going to be falling. But we would like to see him do some positive things and just look comfortable in the offense and that kind of stuff. So, I think that'll probably be the biggest thing that we'll be watching, obviously, in the beginning, because that's the only time he's going to play. But what does Marcus Mariota look like in this new system?
Yep, 100% agree. It's all about the quarterback all the time. So, really interested to see how comfortable Mariota is, how comfortable he looks in the pocket. Does he trust what he's seeing? Is he holding on to the ball too long? Is he dropping his eyes? Little stuff like that you'll be able to pick up on real quick. Now, it's interesting because he's probably going to be without his top 2 receivers. So how much chemistry does he have with these new receivers? I don't know. So, like you were saying, if it doesn't go well, don't panic. Consider the fact that Corey Davis probably isn't out there. Rishard Matthews probably isn't out there. Consider the fact that he has not worked with the two of them throughout camp consistently yet. Obviously, Corey Davis more than Rishard Matthews. But we've harped on it and harped on and harped on it. This receiving core is not good right now. So I'm just interested to see how comfortable he looks with some new faces around him in a new offense.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think that, you know, I mean, he's got more time with Taylor than anybody else because, you know, he was on the team last year. So, I mean, at least he's played some with him. But then you're looking at Tajay Sharp, who, you know, hasn't taken a snap with Marcus Mariota yet. And then your third guy being, I guess, Darius Jennings. I think he was the guy that was running with the ones the other day in practice. So, I mean, I guess he's the guy that'll start there and, you know, new to the team, all that stuff. So, it'll be interesting. Like you said, I mean, not having his two top receivers out there will be a challenge for him, you know, not making any excuses or anything like that. But it's going to be a challenge. Any NFL team is going to be challenged if they don't have their top 2 receivers out there. Now, luckily, we're still, you know, over a month away from the first game, so there's still time for all that. But, yeah, I mean, it'll just be good if, like you said, just how confident he looks, how much he, because you could tell last year, again, I think his leg was playing with his mind a little bit. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I still think he wasn't 100% confident on that. And you could just tell last year he didn't trust what he was seeing, didn't feel comfortable in that offense. So how comfortable does he look, all that kind of stuff. So that's the biggest thing. And like you said, it's all about the quarterback all the time. So we want to see him do well and then kind of go from there. All right, so we got a couple more offensive things to talk about and defensive things to talk about. But before we do that, we're going to say about Nordic Track. We're glad to have them on board as a sponsor of the podcast. And you know how it is. It's hard to get to the gym sometimes. But the cool thing about Nordic Track is you get a machine, you get it in your house, and you can do it whenever it's convenient for you. Nordic Track has a huge line of training equipment to help you get done whatever you want to get done. They've got treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and strength machines. So anything you want to do, whatever your personal goals are, you can find that, and you can accomplish that with Nordic Track. The cool thing about it, too, is for all your cardio stuff, you can join high-energy streamed workouts any time of the day without stepping out the door. You can join streamed workouts that are in both studios and exotic destinations around the world. Start your day with a run through the streets of Paris and end with cross-training on the shores of Thailand or work out in the African safari. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. And right now, we have a special offer for Locked On Titans listeners. Get $75 off of your Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using the code locked on. Again, visit Nordic Track, that's nordictrack.com/lockedon and use code locked on during checkout to save $75 off of your purchase. So the second thing that is interesting to me is Akram Wadley. I want to see him. I still think he has a good chance to make this team. I think that he is a guy that is more like Deion Lewis than anybody else that they have currently in camp. It seems by all accounts that David Flewellen is going to make the roster because he does a lot of things, plays special teams and all that stuff. And all that stuff's important. But, you know, if it comes down to it and Deion Lewis goes down in a game, Flewellen is not helping you fill that role. So it would be good to see Wadley come out and do some of that stuff. You know, if you watch him at Iowa, you know he's definitely got the ability. But it just see what he does on a field, on an NFL field, and if he can carry some of that stuff over from college.
Yeah, I want to see how they use him. I know preseason is really vanilla, but I want to see a little more than run right, run left. I want to see if they give him some swing passes, some screen passes, some stuff like that. You know what you've got in David Flewellen, and he's kind of a grinder, a bigger dude who's just going to, you know, kind of a 3 yards in a cloud of dust type, and a good special teamer. So, in my mind, if Wadley shows out, improves that he can do some of the special team stuff that Flewellen does. Maybe Flewellen becomes a candidate to not make this team. I mean, you were talking before we went on. You know, we do these roster projections in our head, and you know, we keep four guys here, keep four guys here, keep four guys here, where those numbers add up. So. If Wadley shows out, maybe Flewellen gets put on the chopping block a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's the important point is the special team stuff because, you know, if you've got a third running back active on game day, he's going to have to play some special teams. So can Wadley do that? I would imagine he didn't do much of that in college. I don't really know. But a guy that's as good as he was and as important to an offense as he was typically is not going to play much special teams. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see that. And then, you know, moves into the receivers. You know, we've got a group of guys that are, you know, below the tier of the Taylor and the Tajay Sharp. You've got a Jordan Veazey, a Darius Jennings, Deontay Burnett, all these types of guys, Devin Ross, that, you know, have done some things. I mean, you've heard different people talk about them, different days in training camp. Different guys have had really big days. I mean, I think Deontay Burnett's probably the guy that's popped the most. But, you know, all of those guys have had their different days where, you know, you've seen their name pop up a lot from the guys that are at camp watching practice. Can any of those guys kind of step up and, you know, solidify their place on the roster? Because, again, like you're saying, I mean, the numbers do add up, but you're thinking, okay, they're going to keep, obviously, Corey Davis, Rashard Matthews, Taywan Taylor, Tajay Sharp. Michael Campanaro seems to have a role on this team if he's going to be a returner or the slot guy or, you know, whatever it may be. So, I mean, I think he probably makes it. But then do they keep six? Do they keep seven? I mean, all those kind of questions that we won't know, it's going to be up to one of those guys really kind of jumping out and seizing that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you always tell everybody you can't fall in love with undrafted free agent receivers because they never stick. I do think it's a little different maybe with the injuries this year. Maybe a guy like Burnett sticks. But I think that situation is going to work itself out. I think it's going to be obvious. What I'm interested in Taywan Taylor. Can he take a step forward and become a legitimate threat in the NFL? Can he be physical enough? Can he be strong enough to win down the field? You know, what's his role? Is he going to play on the outside? Is he going to get some slot work? And then also, Tajae Sharpe. We've seen Tajae work down the depth chart a little bit throughout training camp, so I'm interested to see what kind of role they have for him. I want to see how late these guys play. That'll give us a good idea of who's where, maybe in the pecking order. But Tajae is a guy that has kind of been forgotten about by some, and then he's kind of irrationally loved by some others. people absolutely love the guy. So I think there's some middle ground there. He's probably a really solid number four NFL receiver, but interested to see what he brings back to this offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's like battered fan syndrome, right, when it comes to the Titans and receivers. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, it's like we fall in love with a guy, and then for whatever reason he just either falls off the map or can't catch or gets hurt. I mean, you know, there's something that happens every year, and it seems like that. And, yeah, Tajae Sharpe is definitely one of those guys that there is a certain section of this fan base that just, I mean, they want to fight you if you say anything bad about him. And look, he's fine. And like you said, he's probably a solid number four. But there are people acting like he, I mean, there was some guy on Twitter the other day that said he's going to lead the Titans in catches. And that's just stupid. I mean, unless, like, I mean, I honestly think that Davis, Matthews, and Taylor would have to miss, like, a huge chunk of the season for Tajae Sharpe to lead the team in catches by a receiver. But, you know, Deontay Burnett's a bit of an interesting case because, like, correct me if I'm wrong here, he was hurt and didn't run at the combine. And then I think he ran at USC's pro day, but ran slow. And that's probably a good part of the reason he didn't get drafted. So, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, like I said, he's made some plays and stuff, and he's kind of popped at different points. So he's a guy that if he hadn't been injured, he probably would have gotten drafted. So he's not your typical undrafted free agent, but to expect him to come in during the regular season and make any type of huge impact is probably a little bit far-fetched.
Yeah, he's been the guy ever since really draft day. I mean, Titans signed him right after the draft, and people were already pointing to him as this guy's going to make the roster. I mean, the Titans had a need, and they didn't fill it in free agency, so it makes sense for a guy like him to come in and make some noise and challenge for that fifth or sixth receiver role, depending on how many they keep. So the opportunity is there for sure, and the talent is really not there, to be honest with you. So interested to see what he brings to the table. You know, you've been out of practice. I haven't. I haven't seen these guys live, so I'm really interested to see, particularly the receivers, how they look, how they – if they look comfortable, if they seem to be running the right routes, if there seems to be any miscommunications or just little stuff like that. So, I think it'll be super obvious.
All right, coming up, we will look at the defensive side of the ball and give you a couple of things we'll be watching for there. All right, so I'll kick it to you for this one. What's the first thing that you're going to be looking for out of this defense?
Harold Landry. I mean, as simple as that. We wanted a pass rusher so bad when it came to the draft. We thought they had to find their pass rusher of the future. Now you've got Arak Pro dinged up. You're going to see, I hope, quite a bit of Harold Landry. How much he plays is, you know, remains to be seen. He's going to run with the ones, we think. He should play a little with the second stringers as well. But I just want to see his burst. I want to see that bend. I want to see him beat someone other than Dennis Kelly. I want to see if they line him up in different places and how they utilize him off the edge.
Yeah, he's the guy, I mean, I think that is, you know, when you talk about swing guys, I mean, I think we agree that Corey Davis is kind of that guy for the offense, that if he, you know, realizes his potential, this offense has a chance to be really special. If he doesn't, if he's not out there, it could spell trouble. Harold Landry is kind of the same thing for me. I mean, you know, we all think that the Titans got a huge steal getting him in the second round. He's shown up at camp a bunch of times. I mean, the couple of times that I was out there, I said on Saturday, I mean, he kept beating Dennis Kelly over and over. Now, take that. It's Dennis Kelly, so take that for what you will. But, like you said, now we get to see him against somebody else, and so that'll be fun to see. I wonder, if with the Rakpo being out, he doesn't get as much run if he would as he would have with the Rakpo in there if he was running, you know, strictly with the twos, whereas he'll be, you know, at least rotating in with the ones here. So that'll be something interesting to watch him. I mean, he's a guy that I think can come in, and if he can be an impact guy from day one, then I think he can take this defense to another level. And we think there's a lot of good things about this defense. I think they've upgraded it a couple of different spots. But I think he's the guy that can take them from being, you know, like a top 10 defense to possibly a top 5 defense if he can consistently get that pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, and behind him, you know, Aaron Wallace and Josh Caraway, you can never have too many pass rushers, you know. So I want to see how Aaron Wallace comes back. He's the guy that was making noise in preseason last year. He had that sack fumble to end the game. So there's a guy that I've got my eye on. Maybe in the second quarter, third quarter, he's going to get plenty of opportunities to go get after that pass rusher.
Yeah, so that'll obviously be something to watch. And then, you know, Kenny Vaccaro getting acclimated to this defense, you know, and I think they plan on him playing, as far as I know. Now, again, you know, you never know with the preseason. I mean, all of a sudden guys can be inactive. And then, of course, with the amount of information that we know about different stuff from Mike Vrabel, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I would kind of be surprised if he does. But, you know, it would be good to see him out there just to kind of see, because we're all really excited about the secondary. And so it would be exciting to see at least a series against him, just to, you know, kind of see how you stack up to you know, one of the best in the game. But, you know, what does Vaccaro look like? Has he recovered from whatever was wrong with him last year, injuries, you know, whatever it was? Has he bounced back from that? And I was listening to something the other day where they were saying that the guy that they saw in the workout when he came here to try out for the Titans was a lot different than the guy they saw on tape in 2017. So I think he battled some injuries and that kind of stuff. So the athleticism is that there, the range, all that kind of stuff. So he'll definitely be a guy to watch. In the limited amount, I mean, I wouldn't think he's going to play more than 10 snaps. But in the limited time that he's out there, I'm really interested to see what he does.
Yeah, and I want to see how they play him. Is he going to be strictly in the box? Is he going to be close to the line of scrimmage? Is he going to get some deep work? And maybe we can't answer that question considering the amount of snaps he's going to get. But I think we'll get a little bit of an idea. And similarly, Dan Cruikshank, the rookie safety out of Arizona, how is he going to be used? You know, they've called him a defensive back. You know, now they listed him as a free safety, I believe. So I would think that he was going to work as a strong safety. But you never know. I mean, this coaching staff isn't exactly very informative here. So hoping to get some clarity in the secondaries, particularly at the safety spot.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't get to see Rashawn Evans. You know, he's got a heat-related injury. That's been going on for a month now. But anyway, I don't know when he'll be back. But, you know, it would be nice. It'd be fun to see him and Landry on the field at the same time. But that's obviously not going to happen tomorrow night. But hopefully he can come back, because that'll be something else interesting to watch. And against, you know, these better passing teams, to see how he holds up in coverage and that kind of stuff. So, unfortunately, we won't get to see that. But, you know, I don't know. There's not a whole lot else. I mean, is there anything else defensively that you're really looking for?
No, it's frustrating because it kind of takes the wind out of your sail. You know, you're ready for football, and then all of a sudden, no Rashard Matthews, no Corey Davis, no Rashawn Evans. So I was really interested in seeing the linebacker rotation right off the bat to see if they were going to instantly start Rashawn Evans. Because they've got some depth there now with Compton, and they've got Jayon Brown there, and of course Wesley Woodyard isn't going to give up his starting role. So, yeah, we're not going to get that answer tomorrow. It's just frustrating. You know, as dull as preseason week one is, it's still exciting to see your young players, your rookies, take the field for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, that isn't one of the more interesting, I guess, rotational things. Is when everybody's healthy there, how they're going to work those guys in and out. Because, you know, I mean, I would assume your starters tomorrow night are Woodyard and Compton. Then Jayon Brown's obviously going to play situational. But, you know, what's going to happen when Evans is healthy? what's going to happen on passing downs, who's going to play. I mean, there's just so many of those questions that, and we might not even really get those answers even if everybody was healthy until the beginning of the season. But we would get a little bit of a clue into what they were trying to do, like you were saying. So we'll have to wait on that. But, it'll be good to see Will Compton. We haven't seen him play before. So you've got a few new guys out there. Honestly, probably the most exciting part about tomorrow night will be seeing the new uniforms on the field for the first time. I mean, that's probably going to be the biggest takeaway watching that. We've seen them in a bunch of different things, but it'll be the first time you see the players really decked out in them playing. So that'll be exciting. But other than that, you hope that, like I said, you hope for a productive drive from Mariota, and then you just hope that you come away with no major injuries. I know that all the people that are involved in the game, and even those of us watching it that are trying to cover it, to write a little bit something about it, do a podcast about it, we're hoping for no overtime. just so that's one of those things. But other than that, everybody comes back healthy and all that kind of stuff. And then next week will be exciting because the Buccaneers are here for a couple of practices. So that'll be fun to watch. And it'll be cool to see something a little bit different for everybody that'll be out there. And then the third preseason game is against the Steelers, right? So, I mean,
yep.
You get if you can get everybody back for that game, you know, that's your dress rehearsal, so to speak. That's a good team. So, I mean, that would be a good game if they can get Rashawn Evans, Brian Arakpo, Corey Davis, Rashard Matthews, then get everybody on the field, and you can kind of get a little bit of a look about what everything's going to look like. So, hopefully, we won't have any more injuries before then, and some of those guys will be back, and you can get a better judge of how things are going to go. But anyway, so that'll do it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. We'll do a show after the game, just kind of recapping what we saw, that kind of stuff. We'll have a bunch of stuff going up on MusicCityMiracles.com. We'll do a recap and winners and losers and all that kind of stuff. We'll have all that for you after the game as well. So be sure and check that out. Again, subscribe to the podcast so that you'll get it as soon as it's available. Follow us on Twitter at JMorrisMCM, at TLambertFB. And then, like I said, subscribe to the podcast, Locked On Titans, wherever you get your podcasts. For Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.